Good morning. This is Andrew Gill from sunny South Florida. Today's scripture reading comes to us from Isaiah 35, 1 through 3. The desert and the dry land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. They will burst into bloom and rejoice with joy and singing. They will receive the glory of Lebanon, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the Lord's glory, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and support unsteady knees. The second verse comes from Matthew 21, 1 through 11. When they approached Jerusalem and to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave two disciples a task. He said to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter, you will find a donkey tied up and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that their master needs them." He sent them off right away. Now this happened to fulfill what the prophets said. "Say to daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the donkey's offspring." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had ordered. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them. Then he sat on them. Now a large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others cut palm branches off the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds in front of him and behind him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. "Who is this?" they asked. The crowds answered, "It is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee."
As we walk the streets of this beautiful and burdened land,
I hear a sweet melodious voice that rings out.
It rings out across the mountains and plains.
It rings out in the streets and in the holy places.
It rings out in the marketplace and in the sea.
The voice is captivating and enthralling. The staccato of the words are foreign and yet familiar. And as if drawn to the beat, my body begins to slowly rock.
At this moment, I forget my individualism and isolation and recall that the call is heard round the world at varied times and diverse places to join the holy conversation that is prayer.
This holy dialogue is shared in tongues I cannot speak. It is shared with those standing next to me and those across the globe.
It is punctuated with needs that I may never have, or ones so similar
that we speak in unison.
We cannot be that different if we share this same call. For the call I hear, the call we hear, is only a reminder of the call you gave millennia ago to remain in this holy dialogue through the language of love.
We cannot be that different if we share that same call.
To pray to one greater than ourselves.
Allah.
Jehovah.
Elohim.
Adonai.
Yahweh.
Dios.
Asante.
Bakin.
God.
May my heart be as a minaret that calls me into this sweet and holy conversation. And as I pray, may I remember that I do not pray alone. Rather, my voice joins the cacophony of voices around the world in praise of the One. May I remember that we too
are one. Amen.
Amen.
In Southern California, I noticed along the road there are these signs you occasionally see that say El Camino Real. And there's a little sign, and then there's an attached bell to it as well. And I'm, after seeing a few of those, I kind of thought, well, what is that? I was just curious. And so my knowledge of Spanish is pretty limited, but I knew Camino means road or way. For example, when Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, in Spanish, it's Yo soy el camino, I am the way, I'm the road. And so but the rest I had to look up. I looked up it, and real means royal or kings. And so it basically means the king's road or a royal road. And so in doing a little more research, I found out that those signs marked what was a Spanish road during colonial times that connected the Spanish missions there in California. And all of the roads in Spanish colonialization were known as the King's Road in a way, but that one is marked particularly remembering the history of that place and the time that road connecting those Spanish missions. And so it's interesting, you know, if you're there, you may be zooming along in 8 lanes of traffic with all of the people in Southern California, but it's a reminder that, okay, this road that you're upon is has a history. As a royal road, a pathway named for a king. Now, most of us, we've lived, haven't we, in times when roads have been established. Probably not many of us have seen too many roads built in our lifetime, but my hometown has a highway called Highway 100 that connects my hometown with Interstate 44. But there's also, a real local would know, there's also a highway called Old Highway 100. And so before they built the new one that's straighter and much more level and a much more better road and now is 4 lanes of traffic, there was the old highway, which is curvier and not quite as straight and not quite as good of a road. And now I think my dad remembers times when he was younger when there was still just the old highway, but for me, the new highway has always been there. Highway 100 has always been the new highway. But think about it, and I imagine that's true for most of us, that most of the roads that we travel on have been there probably most or all of our lives. But think about in ancient times, before pavement, before modern construction, before bulldozers to clear paths, roads were much more basic things back then, but they had them and they were rarer as well. They didn't have as many roads as we do as well. They were rarer, but they were still very important. Because think about it, in ancient times, they helped with navigation. You said, okay, I wanna go to Jericho or Rome or whatever. And then you say, okay, this is the road that will take me there. I won't have to navigate. I won't have to figure out on my own. They also helped with safer, unimpeded travel. And so if you had your chariot or your wagon or whatever and trying to get somewhere, a road made it a little easier. And rather than just trying to get over fields and dirt and things like that, the road gave you a way to get through certain areas. Now, our passage, the scripture passage from Isaiah today, describes a road. It also describes a party. It describes a party and a road and a desert. And the party happens, it says, the desert and the dry land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like a crocus. It's the land itself is going to rejoice, it's saying. It says they will burst into bloom and rejoice with joy and singing. They will receive the glory of Lebanon, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the Lord's glory, the splendor of our Lord. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf will be clear. Then the lame will leap like a deer. The tongue of the speechless will sing. Because waters will spring up in the desert and streams in the wilderness. So what Isaiah is describing is taking a place of desolation and making it a place of abundance. The life that they lived at the moment may seem desolate, but it's saying, okay, but yet even in the desert in which you live, God will bring abundance. It's taking a place that's hard and arid, a place of scarcity, and making it a place of vitality. And these folks, I realize living in Indiana, we probably don't experience desert life much, but these people knew desert areas. And this passage describes this desert becoming a place of fullness, of richness, vitality. And not only a party there in that place, it describes a road. It says a highway will be there in that desert, and it will be called the Holy Way. So instead of El Camino Royal, it's El Camino Santo. The Holy Way will be the road's name. What Isaiah is describing is, okay, through this place that we would normally consider a place that's where life is hard and difficult, it becomes a place of of vitality, of life, of celebration, and there is a way to get there. Now, we're also thinking about a road today, and usually we talk about it in the spring. Usually we think about this road in Palm Sunday, but I want us to think about the road that Jesus entered Jerusalem on. As he came into Jerusalem on what we usually remember on Palm Sunday, he entered on, went along that road on a donkey. A lot of followers there. It was a moment of excitement. And even, you know, as we celebrate it, typically it is, Good Friday is just a few days away. And so there's a somberness to the week ahead. But yet, we also recognize this is a very exciting moment. Jesus entering Jerusalem with excitement, with the crowds, with followers, with joy. Now, Jerusalem had seen its share of conquering leaders come into the city. Now, this what Jesus is doing, it echoes what the city had seen many times, in that a conquering leader enters the city. And so this would have typically been a display of power and might, saying, here I am, the leader who has conquered, you know, I'm in charge now. But Jesus, his entry into the city is much more different. It's humble. His followers are not the leading citizens of the day, but they are just normal people. He displays no sense of earthly powers. He rides on a donkey. I often say that Jesus didn't come into the city riding on a tank or in a chariot or leading an armed brigade or anything like that, but it's humble, it's peaceful. Jesus, we know, will soon experience rejection. The city that he goes into will say no to him and put him to death. But I wonder, thinking about that road that Jesus leads us upon, I wonder if that's the real royal road. I wonder if that's the real holy way. And even though it's not royal by any of our sense of worldly standards, there's nothing opulent, there's nothing powerful about it, I believe that the road that Jesus goes upon and the road that he asks us to follow is the real royal road. We've been talking in this season for a few weeks here about letting justice roll down, echoing that beautiful passage from Amos, where Amos says, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And what we say is that God desires from us justice, compassion, mercy, fairness. More than showing up to church, God desires from us acts of justice and fairness. And so we say, as Christians, as Jesus' people, it's our job to work for these things. And so when our sisters and brothers of the world cry out for justice, it's the people of faith's job to hear that and to do something, to respond, to act. We don't silence our ears to those cries of injustice, but we hear them and we do something. Now, I realize for a lot of longtime church people, we maybe not have thought of things like this as our job. We thought, well, if we show up to church, we're doing okay and we believe in God. But yet, I believe that this is crucial, this is essential to who we are, and there's nothing edgy about this at all. This is just the basics of who we are as God's people, that we believe that that all people deserve fairness, all people deserve the ability to have food and medical care and housing. These are just the basics of living which human beings should have. I mean, that's just the common denominator. All human beings should be able to have these things, and we should have a world where people can have these things. People should be able to live their lives without fear because of who they are or their background or their lifestyle or how they look. There's nothing edgy about this at all. This is just basic understanding of how all of God's creation should be treated. Now, part of us, I realize, some of us may say, well, we'll never really get there. The world is corrupt, and, you know, we may try a thing or two, but, you know, we'll always be going against the tide. Now, I realize that on this side of the fullness of God, the fullness of the kingdom of God, we won't ever build a perfect world. I realize that we in our own efforts won't ever make everything perfect. There will always be some unfairness and some injustice and some mistreatment. We know that's true. But that doesn't mean we ever stop working for it. It's sort of like I may never ever get to that perfect weight I want to be at, that weight I was as a junior in high school. I may never achieve that weight again in my life. But that doesn't mean I stop trying, does it? Trying at least gets me a little closer, or trying helps me get part of the way there. And even if that's not perfect, that's a good thing. And so I realize sometimes the perfect is the enemy of the good. We say, well, we can't have the perfect. Well, why bother? But no. We keep chipping away, and chipping away does something. In the same way, we don't stop working for justice. Any work gets us closer. You see, the road that gets us there is the road that Jesus walks. Jesus' royal road is what brings us there. I love these videos that we've had at the beginning of these series, and Tony and Mariana have worked very hard putting those together. They've been done in-house by them, and so we can celebrate something that came here from our own people. And one of the things that I love that's been there each week is it says, "Let our voices be tuned to the heart of the gospel." I love that. Let our voices be tuned to the heart of the gospel. When we tune our hearts to the good news of the gospel, when we do that, when we are connected in the deepest place with the good news of the gospel, then we believe and we know that every human being is loved, that all people are God's children, that all deserve dignity and respect, that all deserve just treatment. When we tune our hearts to the gospel, we know those things. And the way I believe that we get there is to follow the path that Jesus walks on. To follow Jesus' way, is to care about the world around us. It's been a long time since I've watched the movie The Wizard of Oz, and I remember as a child it was on once a year when we just had broadcast TV, when there were no DVDs and no streaming or whatever that. And so if you wanted to watch The Wizard of Oz, it came on ABC once a year, and we'd all sit down and watch it. And so it's been a while since I've watched it, but I remember as a child sitting down and watching it. And so much of The Wizard of Oz is imprinted on our culture. And you know probably without me having to say it, what is the road that they have to walk upon as they're off to see the wizard? What road do they follow? It's follow the yellow brick road. You know that. That's the one that will lead them to Oz, to see the wizard. If there is a road in the same way we as Christians follow, the road that leads to more justice, more fairness, more love, and we want those things for everyone, don't we? We want that. If there is a road that gets us closer, if there is a holy way, a royal road, I believe it is the way of Jesus. It is the road of following Jesus. Because with Jesus, the poor are welcomed. With Jesus, the hungry are fed. With him, people are called up to give up worldly goods to find an ultimate treasure. With Jesus, the hurting find healing. With him, we find forgiveness. If there is a path, if there is a way, if we are to get there, to let that justice roll down and righteousness like a flowing stream, if there is a way that gets us there, I believe it is the way of Jesus. As we follow Jesus, we are led deeper into justice and compassion and mercy. And the good news is there is a party at the end. Isaiah describes here, I think sometimes when we talk about justice and all, we're kind of grim and, well, we got to do this. No, what Isaiah is describing is a party. And that's where Jesus' road ultimately leads us on, the place where all of this is taking us on. There is, at the end of all of this, at the end of everything that God is doing, there's a celebration rooted in God's love and welcome for all, where justice is present and there's a celebration, there's a party there too. So people of God, let's keep walking that way, the way of Jesus, that will get us there. Amen.